Agenda paper 7 analyzes comments on the committee's tentative agenda decision about the customer's right to access the supplier software on the, hosted on the cloud. The committee received 13 comment letters reproduced in Appendix B to the agenda paper, 10 of which agree with the committee's tentative decision not to add the matter to its standard-setting agenda. Almost all respondents either explicitly agree or did not disagree with the committee's conclusion that a contract that conveys to the customer only the right to receive access to the supplier's application software in the future is a service contract. However, a number of respondents raised concerns about the second half of tentative agenda decision that addressed the requirements to apply if the customer obtains a software asset. Respondents' comments indicate that including that material has raised more questions than answers. For this reason, we recommend deleting these sections of the tentative agenda decision. The respondents' comments, together with our analysis and recommendation, are discussed in paragraphs 10 to 31 of this paper. Based on our analysis, we recommend finalizing the agenda decision, subject to the changes recommended in paragraph 32 of the paper, and a number of editorial suggestions as a result of the recommended changes. I will now ask whether you agree with our recommendation to finalize the agenda decision set out in Appendix A to the paper.
It's going to pick on you, Bertrand, and say, I'm sure you have something to say.
Not a lot of things that would be controversial, I suspect. I agree with the staff analysis and with the proposed wording for the agenda decision. I think it concentrates now only on software. I think it's pretty clear that there won't be any risk of extending the agenda decision to any other aspects other than software. So I'm not honestly disturbed by that. I pretty much agree on the presentation there. Maybe just a suggestion in terms of wording. On page 11, we reiterate we have a sentence that was added in the middle of page 11 in the contract describing the request, if the customer does not receive a software, blah, 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 blah. And this is already put somewhere else, I think, at the end, if I correctly remember. So I would suggest just having it once and preferably at the end of the agenda decision rather than there at the middle. I don't know if we for the other question afterwards, or should I continue with the other question you ask, or with the relating to, yeah, you had you asked two questions. So I answered question A. You want me to answer right now question B, or?
Why not? Well, you've got the floor. Tell us whether we need to.
So.
Proof 38.
I totally agree with the fact that we need to revert to the ISB on amending IS 38. I think the staff was a bit shy in paragraph 29, notably the second sentence, saying making targeted improvements. I think, honestly, it would be impossible to make targeted improvements to IS 38. I think our discussions relating to the way to write this agenda decision, it's the third time we discuss it, so if not the fourth. So I think it shows that it's very difficult. So I would go more for something like erase and redo and rewrite everything.
But
that just. That's my first remark. No, but and it will echo with the rest of what I will say. I was disturbed by the sentence still in paragraph 29, which states, for example, incorporating into IS 38 some of the concepts and requirements already in IFRS 16. I can't agree with that. It's impossible. Because the model of IS 38 is pretty much the same as the one in IFRS 15, i.e. executory contracts, and it has nothing to do with the model in IFRS 16. So that's why I think it needs to be rethought completely, actually, to maybe more be in contrast with IFRS 15, at least I'm speaking for IP license arrangements, for sure. And I would be more a client to the ID developed by the staff in the paragraph 30 of the agenda paper. So I think my recommendation would not be for targeted amendments to IS 38, but I'm not talking about internally generated intangible assets. Huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not recognized now. I don't see the point of recognizing them in the future. I'm just talking about having a comprehensive analysis within IFRS 38 of the acquisition of the right to use or the right to access an IP license, either software, media, or pharmacy, whatever. And be probably consistent with the requirements in IFRS 15 in this instance.
Okay. Right. Martin.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the value drivers of the most and fast-growing companies, I guess it's all about tangible assets more than tangible. So I repeat myself several times. I get a review on a research project, and further next going on steps on IS38 is quite important for the board. So the interpretation committee, we can only fix more or less what we can read or interpret out of the current paragraphs, and with regard to that, what we have done within this non-agenda decision is the best we could do, and I fully support more or less the scope out of the other questions and focusing on question one. However, with regard to that, I guess we came to good and right conclusion, and the staff did a good work.
I agree with the staff analysis and the conclusion in the first part of the agenda decision. However, I don't think we should be deleting all of the analysis of whether we're an IFRS 16 or an IS 38. The question of which was the applicable standard was part of the original submission, and I think it would be helpful for us to answer that. If we feel that we can't answer it, then either we say, well, perhaps as Deloitte have suggested in their comment letter, it's not absolutely clear, so maybe there's a choice, or maybe there's something needed to tighten things up a bit. But with this being the year of introduction of IFRS 16, I can see this being a growing issue, one that is going to cause a bit of difficulty around the place. So I think it would be helpful for us to say something. One other link point to this is that in this paper, we have a particular reading of paragraph 6 of IS 38, that it is examples. When we go to the cryptocurrency paper and we look at paragraph 7 of IS 38, it's read as being an exclusive list. And I think it would be helpful to bring out why there is that difference. I can see, when I read the two paragraphs side by side, I can see how the staff get there, but it would be helpful to have that articulated. On the question of IS 38, I would agree with others, this is something that should go to the board. I am also a little bit skeptical that there can be much in the way of targeted improvements to IS 38. I'm very attracted by Bertrand's approach of taking IS 38 and putting it in an appropriate compartment and starting again. the But then I would say that I would look forward to seeing questions coming to the Interpretations Committee similar to those now for S15 and 9 that we're seeing at the moment. But that may be the only way really to fix it properly, that it would need a comprehensive project. I'm not sure that we can fix it by tweaking it at the edges. I'm not sure that would be the best use of the board's time.
Thank you. Bob?
I'm supportive of the revised agenda decision, or the revisions to the agenda decision and the agenda decision staff has proposed. I think it's on questions 2 and 3 and deleting them. They were just raising more and more issues that were beyond cloud computing arrangements. And I don't disagree that they are legitimate issues, but I think we would have to deal with them really separately because they're broader than cloud computing. On the suggestion of redoing IS-38, I think there's, and I don't have a horse in this race, there's two ways to go. You could either do a surgical amendment to IS-38 just to make the definition there for an asset consistent with the conceptual framework, which I support, that I think that seems necessary. Or you could really open up 38. I think if you really open up 38, and just having done some analysis on intangibles and when they meet definition of asset or not, and measurements and everything, it's a rabbit hole. There's issues there that they just keep building on, and you could be spending a long time on it. So I don't disagree with opening up 38, but I just think you have to be careful in how you do it.
Bye.
I guess maybe the main point I would make with regard to the revised agenda decision is with respect to the deletion of question 2, what paragraph 3 really means from a scoping perspective. To me, that's quite an important thing to understand in terms of how IS-38 and IFRS 16 interact with each other. In the tentative agenda decision, we took a position on that. We got a lot of feedback from commentators saying that's not necessarily how they thought about those paragraphs. I can appreciate that, you know, the intention in bringing those paragraphs forward to IFRS 16 from IS 17, there was no intention to change their meaning or scope. And so the outcome now of interpreting those paragraphs perhaps differently than how people interpreted them under IS 17 is a bit awkward. But at the same time, the model under IFRS 16 is substantially different than the model under IS 17. And so those scoping decisions are very important. I can't remember who said it, but I can appreciate the notion that, okay, maybe in retrospect, receiving the comment letters, there is some lack of clarity as to how to scope things between 38 and 16. And if that's the case, I wonder if that is something specifically that we need to refer to the board as well, because I think that interaction between the two standards is a very important question. So that might be something explicit in the feedback to the board that we might contemplate.
Okay. Well, thank you. Reinhardt?
I, much like others, support finalizing the agenda decision, recognizing that, you know, the other questions that the agenda decision or issues the agenda decision raised, we tried to address are important questions, important issues, but I think they did, the comment letters demonstrated the additional effort and additional work that would need to be done to try to address those, and it goes quite a bit beyond what, as others have said, cloud computing, and I think would be a potentially really big project. I mean, it does touch on some of the issues that we as a committee have tried to address previously, like variable payments, and spent a lot of time on, and really didn't make much progress. So I do agree with where we are and finalizing the agenda decision. And similar to comments of others, I do think relooking at IS 38 is important. I think the interaction between IFRS 16 and IS 38 in terms of scope is a critical issue. And I think, much like Bob said, I worry a little bit about trying to start over with IS 38 because that's potentially just a massive project. So I think what will be really important for the staff is to try to scope out what the issues are that we have currently with IS 38 and determine what does that imply as to whether there are more narrow scope amendments that could be helpful as opposed to a broader project.
Thank you. Yang Su?
Actually, Reinhard said almost everything I wanted to say. So, I mean, I agree with Reinhard. You know, we don't have to extend the scope at all. This is the right scope, I think. And also, by restricting our scope only to question number one, I think this agenda decision becomes much clearer. So, you know, fully support the agenda decision. I have just one minor comment. Maybe this is a question. That is the last sentence of the first paragraph. The underlying sentence has been added to the first paragraph, which is the contract does not convey to the customer that the right to use any tangible asset. You know, what I see is that this one is not described in any part of the submission, but we actually added to the fact pattern of the agenda decision. So my question is whether it is allowable to add something that is not described in the submission, but described at the fact pattern of the agenda decision.
So maybe it's helpful, I'll explain our thoughts in adding it, and then that will hopefully help you decide whether you agree with adding it or not. So I think, Young, so it's right to say it wasn't maybe something explicitly stated in the fact pattern or patterns that were submitted to us. But because it's a not sentence, in a sense, you could say it was embedded in the fact pattern, in a sense. But I think it's a good question to say why at least are we suggesting adding it. And the reason we're suggesting adding it is that there was a comment made in one of the comment letters that said, along the lines of saying, look, if somebody has one of these cloud computing arrangements, they could come along and read this agenda decision in isolation. And obviously, assuming you agree with what we're suggesting, they could read, you know, given these facts, there isn't a software lease, there isn't a software asset, it's a service. And the comment was just made that in the wider context of, you know, what might be embedded in a contract that includes maybe some sort of cloud services, let's not forget about the fact it's possible that there could be some, you know, embedded in that, some rights transferred to the customer over tangible assets, over the infrastructure or hardware. And I suppose at least when we read that comment, we were persuaded to think that it might be good just in a way to put a little reminder in the agenda decision somewhere that says, sort of don't forget about the fact that, you know, don't just assume the entire contract doesn't have any hardware in there either that you need to think about. And this was just a sort of a way of sort of saying, as a reminder, remember just to look in case you've got any rights to hardware. It doesn't have to be there, but that was the thought process.
Bruce.
Thanks, Sue. A lot of the comments I think have already been made in terms of what I was going to say. The only thing I was going to say is, whereas I love the idea of taking IS-38 and starting again, I'll agree with others in saying I wouldn't want that to be the hurdle, because I think that's a much greater hurdle than trying to fix smaller things like the scoping between 16 and 38 that we could do. So as much as I like the idea of a bigger one, that's going to have to feed into an agenda consultation most likely, but I would strongly support more targeted improvements that could make it better. The only other thing I was going to make, and I think somebody else, I think maybe it was Andrew, also made the comment, is I also just wanted to point out the consistency of our comments around paragraph 6 and 7. When we discussed cryptocurrencies, you may remember I was quite upset that principle in paragraph 7 was, no, that's not acceptable to apply to cryptos, but yet we're kind of reading paragraph 6 and a lot of people are reading it very different ways. That's why I just think the scoping should be a lot more consistent in terms of what we're saying is in and out.
Okay. Tony.
I'm comfortable with the staff analysis and with the proposal to finalise the agenda decision with these amendments, in particular that after three meetings, we haven't really got much closer to sorting out the other two questions. So I'm comfortable with that.
I think I'd echo what several others said. I think we ought to report back to the board on the challenges that we have encountered. But I think it ought to be that. So these are the challenges we found. Okay. So that gives the board, okay, so these are whatever it is, 2, 3, 4 specific issues that we came across. That gives the board something to work with in terms of whether they want to take on a project to try and fix it.
Okay, thank you. Carl?
I also support finalizing as drafted, and in terms of reporting IS 38 issues to the board, I would add the service concession arrangements challenges, especially variable payments, well remembered by Reinhardt. It's another thing to think about when to discuss IS 38 again.
Okay, thank you. Did staff want to comment on this, a few points that have been raised about the interaction between 16 and 38?
Yeah, I suppose I take on board any comments raised. The only comment I would add, I'm adding this, by the way, to try to provide reassurance, but you may tell me it has the opposite effect. So I'm already, you know, sort of speaking to myself inside my head, thinking, should I say this? At least in the context of this question, which was cloud computing arrangements, when the submission came in, as somebody pointed out, of course, there was a couple of different fact patterns, but in the course of the discussion around that and where we've ended up in this agenda decision, we've concluded in the context of these arrangements, the vast majority of the time we think you would end up with a service contract in this, and especially in this case when the right is only a right to receive access. We've concluded it's a service. There's neither a software asset nor a software lease. And whilst clearly some of these contracts may have either a lease or an intangible asset embedded, at least from the intelligence we got from the work we've done, the vast majority, we would expect to end up in the service camp, not the asset. So I'd only say, if it's reassuring, to say that when we come along to look at questions 2 and 3, they apply only in the context where you've actually decided it isn't a service and there is either, you know, a lease or an asset there, and specifically when there's a lease there. And I suppose for me, in thinking about the comments and what we've maybe achieved from the agenda decision that pulls back, I would think first and foremost the biggest question, and almost the biggest question in terms of, you know, where are we providing an answer to try and get people to sort of more consistent accounting, is do I have an asset or do I have a service? Of course, it's not unimportant that after you decide potentially you have an asset, how exactly, you know, does that get measured, etc. But I suppose just in thinking about in the context of how, you know, IFRS 16 works when you say you have an asset and how IFRS 38 works when you have an asset, I would hope that anything where you might say losing from deleting these pieces is, we're still covering off the biggest question, which is it an asset, is it a service, versus then exactly what happens in hopefully the relatively narrow cases where you have an asset.
Well, can I just follow up on the comment? I think it might have been Andrew. This comment about the inconsistency between paragraph 6 and paragraph 7, how we're handling it between... Andrew. Between what we're doing with cryptocurrencies and what we're doing here, these are both finalised... we're finalising agenda decisions and people are agreeing the text now in this meeting. So my question is, do you see that more work is needed to make sure they're consistent in terms of what you identified with paragraph 6 and 7?
I'm not sure we're covering it specifically in the agenda decision.
Yeah. So I think just if it's helpful, so we're actually not now saying anything about paragraph 6. Yeah. We would have before. So in this one, we're not saying anything about paragraph 6. I suppose what we are doing, that in the tentative agenda decision for cryptocurrencies, we are in effect saying something about paragraph 7 in that. Yeah. But at least there isn't two different positions now being taken in a sense.
I was going to say, I accept it's not all I was referring to is the fact that we've had the two discussions. And I mean, if you look at both discussions, in one of them, we relied heavily on paragraph 7 in crypto, saying, yeah, well, we wouldn't look at that at all. That's why we're putting it into IS-38 that I think is giving us an interesting answer. Whereas here, you know, we're heavily relying on paragraph 6 in terms of... I just think that...
Agenda decision.
If I could maybe just add, I think that my point on it was that if we were going to have the references to both in two different agenda decisions, then we just needed to be careful with the wording to make sure there was a clear distinction. Because as I went through the papers, I went back to the two different paragraphs and the context in which they were used, mm-hmm. and reading them quite carefully, I agreed that there are two separate meanings to them. So I agreed with where the staff were going. Mm. It was simply to make it clearer to someone, or absolutely clear to someone who was reading the agenda decision without having the standard beside them, that there were two slightly different analyses that were being used.
Okay. Thank you, Bertrand.
I just wanted to answer to Patrina. And it echoes back to what I said previously on the link between 38 and 15. When you say a service, I buy a service, it echoes to the right to access in IFRS, an IP license in IFRS 15. At least it's the way I would make the link between the two. I'm not sure that the right to use an IP license in IFRS 15 is strictly symmetric to the right to use the acquisition of the right to use in IS 38. It's just where effectively currently in IS 38, I'm not sure we're exactly. So we the and it goes probably many comments. We don't know at certain to a certain extent whether we are in 16, which I think we are not, obviously. Not on IP licenses, or if we have to more rely on a symmetric accounting treatment as IFRS 15, and that's where probably any further amendments to IS 38 should effectively concentrate. What is exactly the definition you're saying? Service? Does it correspond to the set of the right to access an IP? In IFRS 15, and the acquisition of a right to use a license, does it correspond to the sale of a right to use an IP, a static IP license in IFRS 15?
Okay.
So there's not only the correspondence between 38 and 16, but there is also the correspondence between 38 and 15.
Are there any other adjustments that were? You wanted to propose before we vote on the agenda?
There was only one other suggestion I noted, and Bertrand, I think it was yours. So if I look at page 11, there are the added sentence sort of just below halfway that's underlined. I think you suggested you thought it was repetition. I think up to the committee it could be. It was inserted only as a thought that it was quite a long agenda decision, and maybe it was helpful to put almost the overall conclusion there, but equally I think we can strike that and we don't lose anything if committee members think that's better.
Unless someone else has a strong view against that.
Well, shall we vote then on the agenda decision, assuming that we've struck the words that begin in the contract described in the request halfway down on page 11? Should we vote on that? Show of hands, please.
That is 13.
Okay.